Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Your grace point. Those of you in person, we're grateful that you're here. Online also, we're thankful that you're worshiping with us here at Grace Point Church in person and online this morning. I want to just echo what Pastor Jeff said. Just remind you, Grace Point 101, a great opportunity for you to get more information about who we are at Grace Point as you are seeking to know where God wants you to be in terms of a church family. May 16th, after the third service, we'd love to have you be a part of that if you've not been through that class. And then also, baptism, as he mentioned, is coming soon, so big baptismal service we're looking forward to on May 16th. Let me share a couple of things in addition to that, and then we're going to jump into the teaching this morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm teaching verse by verse through the book of Colossians this year. We're at Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 in just a minute, and we're going to focus today on verse 2. So I'll swing back around and catch you up on that in just a moment. Let me mention three things that spring from our preschool children's ministry. Last year, of course, everything was happening. We were unable to do our ministry events in the summertime. So we're excited this year, across the board through youth and preschool children, we're going to be able to have our camps and our VBS. So three things I want to mention to you. First of all, Mother's Day is May 9th, so I hope you'll plan on joining us and worshiping with us on Mother's Day. Always a big time of worship, a big gathering together. So I hope you make plans to be here and spend that morning with us here at Grace Point Church. In addition to that, we also do baby dedication on Mother's Day. And like I said, we didn't get to do that last year. We're swinging back around, and so May 9th will be baby dedication. So if you'd like to be a part of that, we certainly would love to talk with you about that, answer any questions you might have, and you can sign up for that if you'd like to. KidZoneSignUp.com is where you will go to sign up for these things that I'm mentioning. KidZoneSignUp.com has all the information about these ministry events we're going to be doing. Mother's Day, May 9th, then Children's Camp. We're going to have Children's Camp this year again at Camp Copus. We love to go out to Camp Copus and spend the week out there with them. So if you'd like to be a part of that, your kids be a part of that. Second grade, completed second grade through completed fifth grade. That's the age for our children's camp. So if your kids fall into that age group, you'd like more information about it, and we'd love to talk with you about that. It's always a great week. We'll have close to 100 kids out there, probably this year as we have in the past few years. So you can go again, kidzonesignup.com, and have more information about there and also sign up for children's camp if you'd like to be a part of that. And then last but not least, Vacation Bible School. We're thankful we can do Vacation Bible School this year, June 21 through 24. I want to encourage you, if you want your kids to be involved in that, please go to kidzonesignup.com. Let us know they're coming. We're already taking registration. People have already registered for that. And Julie and all of her staff are already planning. Everything's going to be happening that week. It's always a fantastic week with our kids. So those three events that are coming quickly, if you want to be a part of that, please sign up. Go to kidzonesignup.com. Get more information about that. If you have questions, please feel free to reach out and ask us about that. Okay, 10 weeks ago, I preached vision. I preached a vision message for what I believe to be God's vision for Grace Point Church. And from that vision message, I shared with you 18 vision statements that all were pushing towards the overarching vision for Grace Point, which we believe is to have a radical impact on the city of Denton and beyond with the gospel of Christ. We do that by going deeper in our faith, discipleship, wider in our influence. That's evangelism. That's our vision, that's our calling, is for God to use Grace Point Church to have that radical impact on the city of Denton with the gospel of Christ, so people to be saved and transformed and to become Christ followers. That's the main focus. Underneath that, I gave you 18 vision statements that really push everything towards that main vision. Each week since that day I preached that message, I've been taking one. And today we're on vision statement number 10. I just share it. I've already preached it, so I just share it just to keep it before you as we continue to remember the vision. So vision statement number 10, it is the vision that Grace Point Church be a place that provides hope and healing to the hopeless and hurting. Amen? And we continue to be that place. You do great at providing that. Now, ultimately, we know God is the one who heals. God is the one who gives hope. And so we're asking him to use Grace Point that we can encourage those struggling, may feel hopeless or hurting, certainly minister and pray, but ultimately we point them to the Savior, to Jesus. This kind of sprang from, I've got to not take really time for this, but this sprang from 4 or 5 years ago when I did a series on mental health. And for the last 4 or 5 years, I really had have been studying that, working with people who are walking through mental health issues. I've had my own battles with depression. I shared that 5 years ago. And as I walked through that, I began to just see my eyes were open, the number of people that walk through such difficulties with mental health. And so that vision statement kind of sprung from that. You know, many times people dealing with mental health issues really feel hopeless. They're really hurting. And so we at Grace Point Church want to provide that safe place for anybody. Certainly that safe place where people can come if you're dealing with mental health issues, and we can talk about it and we get that out in the open. And that's really where this kind of vision statement came from, hope and healing to the hopeless and hurting. Okay, now let's go to Colossians 3. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. I want to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to come back and we're going to take, really we're just going to dial in on verse 2 today. And let me read it first. Colossians 3, 1 is where I preached last week. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So last week we talked about that very thing. We kind of stopped right there, paused right there. We talked about seeking the things that are above and the importance of that. And what we learned is, first and foremost, we have to seek Christ first in all things. In your marriage, in your career, in your relationships, in your family, just in all things, right? If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So we talked about that last week. Now, verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And that's where we're going to focus today. Let me read verse 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, I mean, that we can just circle that. We could just spend the day there. Christ, who is your life. Not a part-time job, not just showing up for church, not praying when it's tough, but when Christ, who is your life, is your life, Paul say, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So what's happening here is we, as I shared with you last week, just to kind of bring up to speed, as we work through chapter 2, we learned that Paul talks very much about the position of who you and I are in Christ as believers, who we are in Christ. We identify with him through his death, burial, and resurrection. So positionally, who we are in Christ. So he spends chapter 2 really drilling down and talking to us about that. Now he's going to move from position, who you are in Christ, to practice. Chapter 3. So he's saying, this is who you are in Christ. Grab a hold of this. Now he's going to say, this is how it plays out in your life. In other words, this is what it should look like in your day-to-day life. And so Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through chapter 4, probably up to chapter 5, is all about how we should live. And specific things, we're going to get to that, the practicality of our Christian life and how it should impact all these different areas of our lives. Here's what I want you to understand today, last week and today. Before he talks about anything in terms of how you need to live, how your marriage needs to look, how your life should be, how you should raise your kids, all that stuff. Before he talks about any of that, he says to them, and I'm paraphrasing, you need to get your mind right. Because if your mind is not set right, all this other stuff that follows, you will not be able to do. So he doesn't just give this list of prohibitions, things you cannot do as a believer. Don't do all these things. A lot of people want the list. You know, where's all the things I can't do? That's not what he's not pointing. He's saying you need to get your mind right, because from your mind flows your behavior. Your mind and your heart flows your behavior. So that's why we talked last week, and he talks here about seeking and setting. And I believe that this is one of the most important verses in the Bible that we have got to grab a hold of, because our mind radically influences our direction of life. Setting your mind, where you set your mind right now and this morning, is going to influence the rest of your day. It will. It can influence the rest of your day. Tomorrow, same thing. Position to practical. And we talked a couple weeks ago about being careful. Don't let the things of the world take you captive. We talked about this, right? We talked about this last week. Don't let the things of the world capture your mind. So God made all things Certainly we agree with that. He made all things and he made them to point to him, not to be a substitute for him. If the mailman brings you a love letter from your fiance, don't fall in love with the mailman. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So all these things, these created, and that's what happens for us even believers, is we fall in love with the things that he has created instead of him who is the creator. And then we get disappointed in these things because these things don't deliver long term. Short term, maybe, argue that, I guess. Sin's pleasurable for seasons, it's in the Bible. And so this focus on our minds now, he's saying, you gotta get your head right here. You gotta get your mind right. If not, you're gonna fall in love with the things of the world and not with God. And that's gonna lead you to not good places, ultimately. So today, I want to. This verse will probably take me 2 to 3 weeks to go through because I think it's so important and there's so much to share about our minds to grab a hold of. And I really believe that if you, as God kind of reveals this to us through his word, and God ultimately does that, that it can radically change some things for us and for you and for me. Not just in the sense of mental health struggles, and that's one side of it. When I begin to study even more the power of the mind and how it impacts, especially those, you know, walking through difficulties, mental health issues, but even more for all of us, there's great power in our minds. So I want to take a minute and just kind of set this thing up. This is from Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he's written just all kinds of writings and books and articles about the mind. And so I've just taken some from him about the science of the mind, right? So just for us to understand, again, to be reminded of the power of our mind. Listen to some of these things he mentions. Number one, he says, for every thought you have, a surge of electrical currents from your brain release an unknown number of neurochemicals responsible for the operation of your nervous system. Your body responds to each thought accordingly, like a world-class conductor leading a famous orchestra with everything working in unison from your heart, liver, and lungs, performing their role with precision. It all starts in your brain, your mind. Number two, what, where, how, and the length of time we give attention to something in life, along with our repetitive thoughts, forms our neurological wiring. Okay, the importance of repetition in our minds. Number three, concentrating on pain that exists within your body. So concentrating, again, setting, focus, I would say, sends electrical currents to your mind that influences the production of that pain. Number four, repetitive thoughts create connections in the brain that quickly become ironclad. These thoughts move from conscious to unconscious ways of thinking and being. This is how, he says, we act on autopilot. Now, this is one of the reasons, repetitive thoughts, I love to get into the heads of the children. And I mean that in a healthy, normal way. It sounds weird, but this is why I want to influence our like Kids Zone Academy, when I teach chapel with our preschoolers, and every week, you know, they're hearing me say it after me. This is the Bible. It's God's word, and everything in it is true, and I hold the Bible, and just over and over and over again, and I want to, in a good, healthy way, I want to get into their head. I want to get into their mind, that they're remembering that, even as they grow up and as they leave, that they're remembering God brings back to mind that truth of the Bible is true. The Bible is true. So even as they're teenagers, that just sticks into their mind because there's been repetition over and over again. It starts in our minds. Then the process of change, he says, requires forgetting what we know to discover new ways of being. Regular meditation practices, so focus on our mind, accelerates the achievement of this goal and productive and produces visible results. Again, our mind. So let me just skip. I'm not going to share all of these. Our lifelong repetitive negative thoughts are significant contributors to stress and disease within the body. Stress causes us to live in a survival state, which negatively changes our internal state and exhausts our body. in turn generating adverse responses, including anger, depression, misery, confusion. When we are in this state, it can be likened to behaving like a bird trapped in a cage or a prisoner held in captive. We fail to see the possibilities for our life. So again, the impact, that's all I want you to get from that. Don't go down that road too. I just want you to get the impact and the influence that our mind has. And I could read through more as I did this past week, and I'll share some more things with you. But just for me to help me to understand even more the mind, just from the practical side of things and what the mind can and cannot do. But when I read stuff like that, and I've read this week about the brain, and I'll share other things if I get time about how our brain works and things. When I read all of that, I always finish reading, and every time I just sit back and I go, man, God is amazing. Amen. You think about all the intricate details of your brain and your mind and how it all works together. I'm like, my gosh, God did that. God created us, and He created our minds, and He wants us to set our minds first and foremost on Him and on the things above. So, how do we do that? What are some practical things from the scriptures that we need to do to make sure our minds are set on things above? And for us then today to maybe just swing back around, and maybe it's a refresher for us to remember the influence our mind has on so many areas of our life and our body, and I think in our choices. And I think that's why Paul starts in Colossians 3, where he talks about behavior, saying, hey, you need to make sure your mind is set on the right thing. So takeaway number one, if you're taking notes, takeaway number one, whatever gets your mind gets you. Whatever gets your mind gets you. Set your mind on things that are above. The word set, it is a disposition, a propensity, a bent of the mind towards a particular object. Now, here's what I want you to get from that. Setting of your mind. Setting of our mind calls for an act of our will. So you and I, we have to choose to do this in Colossians 3. To set our minds on things above. Continually, moment by moment, directing our mind toward the things above. Now, I'm going to talk next week. I don't have time after the first service. I don't have time to do it this week. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about social media and the digital media. And there's this competition, man. It's a big-time competition. I don't have to tell you that. Competing for our minds and the minds of our children against, you know, Christ, right? Setting our minds on Him and on the things above. But it has to be. It's an act of your will, and it's my will. So we can choose. We can choose what we will set our minds on. So when you think about set, I almost think of it as like the difference between glance and gaze. So if I'm looking at my pulpit, that's a glance, right? That's a glance. But if I do this, and then as I'm gazing, I'll probably move towards, because principle of truth, you move towards what you focus on. That's why setting your mind greatly influences you. Somebody's trying to quit smoking. The way to, the last thing you want to do is for them to have to continually say, I can't smoke, I can't smoke, I can't smoke, I can't smoke, I can't smoke. I mean, you move toward what you focus on. So you have to replace that with something else healthy that you move towards. So glance and gaze. So gaze is like setting. So it's drawing, right? And as you gaze, the more you gaze, the more drawn in you typically become to something. 1965, a man by the name of Donald Gray Barnhouse, who's an author, theologian, wrote a book called The Invisible War. A violent battle, he says, is raging around us 24 hours a day. He said it is the battle for your mind, and that battle is vicious. It is intense, it is unrelenting, it is unfair, because Satan never plays fair And the reason why it is so intense, he says, is because your greatest asset is your mind. How you think flows your behavior. And so Satan knows that, and so he's battling for your mind. He's battling for the mind of your children, because he knows if you can get into the minds of your children, he influences the behaviors of your children, the minds and hearts of your children, our children. Whatever gets your mind gets you. Where are you setting your mind? Last month, I was out in the yard mowing my grass. March. Actually, let me rephrase that. Last month, I was in the yard mowing my weeds before I got a letter from the HOA. It wasn't like the grass was real tall or anything. And I told you last year or so, maybe 2 years ago, that finally, I told you a couple years ago, I saw the light. I saw the light, and I moved from a gas-powered mower to a battery-powered lawnmower. Remember I told you that story? Because those gas-powered mowers, man, every time that thing would never start for me. I was spitting and kicking and saying non-pastor things to the mower, and it was a bad situation. And then finally somebody told me about these battery-powered mowers. I thought, well, that's not going to work, man. Oh, man, I've been using that for probably 3 or 4 years now. Changed my life, and when I cut the grass, I no longer have to go in and confess and repent before God. So I'm thankful for that, man. So you just put these batteries in, and it works, but it's really quiet. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And so I'm cutting my weeds out there one day last month, and I have my earbuds in, and I'm listening to, because I'm a big sports fan, I'm listening to March Madness, NCAA basketball game. There's a particular game on that I was really interested in. So I was listening to the game, and it was turned up super loud. That's one of my bad habits is I turn everything up. I like everything up loud. And so it's super loud. So I'm in my front yard. I don't have a big front yard, but, I mean, it probably takes me 15 or 20 minutes to cut it, right? And there's the side that's pretty long. And so I'm over on the side, and I'm cutting the grass, and I'm going along, and the thing is going loud. Like, you know how when you have those things in, man, and they're cranked up, I mean. And so I'm going along, and as I'm walking along, right here's a sidewalk here. We have a lot of people in our neighborhood that walk. And so I'm pushing my mower, and these people are walking, and the guy who's walking, they're walking along here, and they come here, and then they're walking alongside, and then they stop. And then they just kind of look at me like this. And he's looking at me, and I'm like, Mike. And he's like, and then he keeps walking. I thought, well, that's weird, man. I mean, I didn't think anything about it. I'm still listening to the game, you know. So I'm still pushing and pushing back. And then so I start pushing down, and my neighbor across the street, his car's parked out in front. And so he's over here, and he's starting to get to his car, and then he comes over and does this, and he goes, I'm like, what, brother? He's like, man, these people. Yeah, I mean, my pants are zipped up. I mean, I'm like, God. And then so one more time, there's a couple people walking, and they do the same thing. They stop, they're walking with the dog, and then she just goes, and then she just kind of keeps walking. I'm thinking, man, so I finish cutting the grass. You probably know where this is going. I finish cutting the grass. I stop, and I take my earbuds out, and it's then I realize the mower is not running. The battery died. I mean, they're so quiet. So I'm just like, I'm pushing a mower. It's not running. And these people are going, what in the world? You know, they're calling people weirdo at 2013. Go check him out. And then I saw it. But here's my point, man. It's just like here. Whatever gets your mind gets you. I mean, I was so like this. It was turned up. Everything was blocked out. I was focused. My mind. That's what happens to us. We want to be for, and it can be good, wherever you set your mind, or it can be, if you set your mind on things that are not God. That gets you. So understand the influence, the power, the impact, where you're choosing to set your mind. Now, I go back to what I said, active your will. You can control that. Now, I'm not saying, we'll get to that in a minute as far as controlling what comes in, because we do need to do that. But, you know, in this world, there's going to be stuff out there. I know you know, because we live in this world, you're going to hear stuff and things. But we still make a choice, right, on what we are going to set our minds on. Am I going to set on things above and the things of Christ? Or am I going to set them on the things of the world? Whatever gets your mind gets you. So one of the most important things we need to learn, all of us, myself, I want for you, I want for our children. Mine are older, but as they grow, you know, just as young adults, what I want for them is to we must learn to teach others, ourselves and then others, how to guard, strengthen, and renew our minds. So here's the deal. Your mind and my mind, let's remember this, is being renewed every day with the things of the world. It's the world in which we live in. Romans 12 is not on your screen. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so every day, my mind is renewed with the things of the world, even without unintentionally doing it. When I turn on ESPN and I'm watching all of the ESPN scores and updates and all that, I'm not saying we shouldn't watch ESPN. God hadn't told me that yet, thankfully. He ain't going to, I'm sure. So, because I think he does. So as I'm watching it, though, my mind, I'm not saying with, like, horrible stuff, but my mind is just being renewed with the things of the world, right? I'm not saying don't watch ESPN or don't watch. I'm just saying you have to recognize, right, that in this world, when I'm watching the news, when I'm watching, what you know, TV shows or whatever, my mind is being renewed with the things of the world because we live in this world, right? So therefore, when we recognize that, it helps us understand Romans 12, don't conform to the pattern of this world, which means we will if we don't do the next part, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. Just like Colossians 3, set your mind, see the power of the mind. So then I have to make sure that I'm renewing my mind every day with the things of God. But if not, what's going to happen? I'm going to conform to the pattern of the world. That means the way I do my marriage is going to be based on what I see in the world. The way I handle my money is going to be the way that I parent my children, be based on what the world is doing. I start to conform to those patterns. If I'm not intentional, choice of my will, to renew my mind, be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You see the importance that your mind plays in that transformational process that ultimately God does through us. So we need to learn how to guard, strengthen, renew our minds. The battle of sin always starts in our mind. The battle of sin starts in our mind. So typically, we think about it, right? Then we do it. Typically, we think about the sin and then we do it. And so that's why we have to win here, not just here. So that's why Paul's not just talking about behavior, where it's our hands. He's talking about your head, your mind. Set it right. Get that right first. Because whatever gets your mind does get you. So I want to take you, there's a lot of scripture passages we could look at, but I want to focus on one today from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5, which talks about this battle of the mind, Ephesians 6, very much, spiritual warfare too. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Let me just read this to you, and then we'll take it apart and connect it with Colossians chapter 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So in other words, we don't fight the spiritual warfare. We don't fight that with humanistic ways. Okay, that's where we get into trouble. There can be good intentions to fight and to win, but we can't win that way. He goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, we look at that scripture passage, verse 3 through 5, and when you take that apart and you look at that, you can see all the aggressive, intense language, which speaks to the intensity of the battle, right? Let's look at it. Though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war. That's telling us right there, man. It's a war. We have the weapons of our warfare. There's two weapons in warfare, not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments. You see the intensity of it? And see, a lot of times as Christians, we just walk around with, we're just lackadaisical, it's no big deal. There's not, you know, instead of being, I'm not saying we need to be on edge, but we need to be reminded, I think, maybe that's what today is, that there is this battle going on. And there are strongholds, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So let me talk first about strongholds. So, and Paul is saying that our job in this battle is to destroy strongholds, not our own strength, with divine power. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So in the context of what he's talking about right here, in this context, I would say that a stronghold is a mental block. So I think he's talking about a specific mindset or attitude. Okay, so typically when we think about strongholds in the Bible, it appears at least 50 times in the Bible, and it usually refers to a fortress that you would have a difficult time accessing, stronghold. So here, I think those strongholds can be things like pride in your life, like anger in your life, like lust in your life. These things that have risen up and here he says, every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive. And then another translation said those things that pretend against the knowledge of God. So in other words, now what's happened is they're stronghold in your life. And in your mind, you have come to believe and think that I will never have victory over that anger in my life. Because it's a stronghold. It's fortified. I can't access that. And so in our minds, we believe that. And so a lot of times we give up. Or that's what we keep trying and then we stop. Trying and we stop. Whatever that stronghold might be. And so it starts with our mind, though. It starts with our mind. That we have to realize that our job is to destroy these strongholds. Now, here's where this is where we kind of separate and we miss this, is the way in which we do this. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So in order to find victory over those strongholds, whatever that might be in your life, you have to use these divine weapons and power that the scriptures are talking about. Let me give you an example of some. This is not on your outline. This is kind of a whole other sermon, but we talk about weapons that have divine power. He's talking about things like, first and foremost, the Bible, the Word of God. So you find victory over these strongholds, destroying with the Word of God. Second, I would say to you, is the people of God. So you get counsel, you get encouragement, right? That helps you defeat the strongholds. You get accountability, that helps you overcome the strongholds. Praise of God. Giving God praise, even through difficult times, releases, as we see in the Old Testament, many times the power of God and the power over these strongholds. Praise of God, the worship and praise of God. Worship of God is another way that strongholds are defeated. Praying, people, scriptures, praise, worship. These are examples. There are more. But these are examples of divine weapons that help us destroy strongholds in our life. If you just say, I'm going to try harder, that might work for a while. But to destroy them, and I mean, that word, we're going to talk in just a minute about steps, I think, even more to do that. But this language is really catches my attention, the intensity of it and the importance of us just taking action. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, so we're just going verses 1 through 4, because we'll take us a few weeks before we get to that. But verse 5, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Do you see how serious he is about that? Put to death, right? Destroy it. Don't even give it a chance. Don't even give it a chance. Destroy those strongholds. We do that with the weapons that he's given us in Christ, in God's people, in worship. So the picture is that the Christian who we put on our spiritual armor, Ephesians 6, right? We have the spiritual weapons that we're fighting. We're set out to move forward in faith, to conquer all things in Christ. But we soon begin to find these obstacles as we're living our Christian life, as we're living out the faith. And that's what Satan does. He creates these strongly fortified strongholds to resist the truth, to try to keep you from fulfilling God's plan for your life, to try to keep you from enjoying the abundant life, John 10, that Jesus talks about. All of these things to keep you from doing what God wants you to do and from experiencing what God wants you to experience. And they get these strongholds, bitterness, anger, lust, jealousy, envy, just whatever it may be for you, me. But it starts, he's saying, here, that the pathway to victory has to do with setting our minds. Now, for some, you know, I want to say this. for some, you might be in a tailspin, man, and you're having a hard time with thoughts, right? And you may need to talk to somebody. That's why we have good counselors, and I can connect with those. If you need to talk to me, you come talk to me and talk through those thoughts. And you need somebody speaking truth into your life. So a lot of times when we're struggling, especially with mental health issues, one of the things we do, and I've learned this, is we isolate. That's like the worst thing to do. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Because then it's just you and your head and your thoughts. And it's hard for you to know truth. So you need somebody to come alongside you and lovingly listen, but also speak truth and encourage you. That's a way that you are setting your mind. That's a way that you are seeking to defeat these strongholds in your life. Destroy these strongholds. It's a mental battle. And Paul says there in 2 Corinthians, we'll destroy these strongholds. As one writer says, Satan is always looking for a tactical advantage. Satan is always looking for a tactical advantage. He is trying to stake a claim over territory that has previously been surrendered to Jesus. Don't be impressed with or afraid of his abilities. Set your mind on things above. So whatever gets your mind gets you. That, I think that's the first step, is to recognize that. Okay, now let me give you takeaway number two. And so I'm going to have to do what I did in the first service. I've got four takeaways. I'm going to just cover these very quickly, okay, so I can get them all in today, because we've got a lot more to work to do next Sunday with setting our minds. Takeaway number two is this: pay attention to what's going on in your mind. Now, in order to do this, you got to slow down, which I'm honest, that's a basic challenge for me, is to slow down and just to be still and to be quiet. I like to keep it moving. But I've learned there's a discipline of this discipline of solace, and just trying to sit still for a little bit, as hard as it is for me, is healthy. Right? And then pay attention to what's going on in your mind, because I think sometimes we don't realize two things I think you have to pay attention to, especially when it comes to digital and social media, which I'll talk again more on next week, but and how it's impacting us and our kids, and I think sometimes we don't even realize it. But two things when it comes to digital media, I think you got to watch out for. One, obviously, is content. What you're watching, what your kids are watching. I mean, that's obvious. You know, content, I think, be careful about that. And then the second would be volume. I think that's the second thing that I've learned over these last few weeks, as I've read and studied more about it, and just with my own kids when they were younger, and talking to you, is volume. As I've read the amount of hours that kids are spending on their, on their phones. Some of it's necessary. I get it for homework and stuff. But there's a whole other piece to this puzzle that we got to address and we got to talk about that's really competing for the minds and hearts of our kids, right? And so volume. And for us as adults, right, it can be good things, right? Now, I'm talking about not scriptural things. I don't think you can get too much of that. But they can be good things, not necessarily bad content, but it can be good things, like not morally bad. But the volume, if we're not careful, gets to such a level that it's pulling us away, and it's pulling them away from setting their mind. They're setting their mind over and over and over and over and over again on these things. Like I said, they might be morally bad, but they're not things from above. So pay attention to what's going on in your, start with you, in your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's a big one too. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. I don't have time to talk about it as long as I'd like to, but that's key, is you make every thought submit to the truth of Christ. Does it line up with the scriptures? If it doesn't, then you take it captive, destroy it, and then begin thinking right. That's setting your mind. There are three questions you need to ask yourself as you, if you can slow down, to try to help yourself understand, paying attention to what's going on in your mind. Three questions you need to ask yourself. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? And what are you believing? These things. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? And what are you believing? And do those thoughts conform with the truth of the gospel? I'll give you a quick example, and then I really got to get going here. About self-esteem, let's take that one. You know, a lot of people just struggle with the value. They don't feel valuable. They don't feel loved. They don't feel beautiful. They don't feel needed. They don't feel wanted. They don't feel important. And so, some of you, you may battle that. That's how you feel about yourself. I don't feel you know, loved, I don't feel valuable, I don't feel these things. And you start dwelling, you set your mind on those things, right? And so that's what I'm saying. You need to take a pause. You need to ask, show, what are you hearing? What is it you're thinking? And then what are you believing? So taking it captive then means I take those thoughts that come into my mind. I'm not worthy. I'm not loved. I'm not acceptable. I'm not needed. People don't care for me. I take those thoughts, take them captive, and then I make them obedient to Christ, which means I destroy those, right? And then I go to what the Bible teaches about me. That then is setting my mind on the things above. It's doing 2 Corinthians 10, taking it captive, right? Destroying it, and then bringing truth in by making obedient to Christ. That's what he's talking about. So you need to pay attention to what's going on in your mind, because that can have huge impact on you. Do your thoughts conform to the truth of the gospel? Take one number three. Don't believe everything you think. I really don't even have time to preach that one, but maybe I'll swing back there next week. But that's a big one too. Don't believe everything you think. You got to measure that. Okay, you got to measure that. And then take one number four. Make better choices about what you say no to. That influences the setting of our mind. Make better choices about what you say no to. Proverbs 15:14, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. I love that verse. The fool feeds on trash. My youngest, 22 now, I remember this, maybe he was 5 or 6. We were watching a movie. I forget what movie it was, but it was one that hit. There's some scary parts in there. And we got to the scary part. It was night, you know, dark and everything. He said, Dad, fast forward. I said, what do you want to fast forward for? This is scary part. I said, that's probably not that scary. He said, Dad, please fast forward. I said, why do you want to fast forward? Why do you want me to fast forward? He said, it's very scary to me, and what I see, I can't erase from my mind. He was 6 and knew that. We have to be careful, make better choices about what we say no to. And sometimes that means just, you know, staying away from things. Something triggers. You know, you need to know what your triggers are. I'll give you an example real quick. And this is not spiritual, but I get migraines, like hundreds of thousands, millions of people all over the world. And I've had them for years. I get them for years. And but one of the things years ago when the doctor was trying to figure out what's going on, he said, you have to watch. One of the things you do is watch what you eat, you know, which I was like, well, you got me there, buddy. I mean, I'm Long John Silver 5 days a week. So, but among other things, I mean, that's when I'm eating good. And so, but he said, you gotta back it off, man. You can't drink Dr. Pepper and Snickers bars, you know, all day long. So, and I said, I'll go with the headaches. No, I said, So he said, you got to watch what you eat. So I had to do that. And one of the things, he said, you'll notice things that are triggers. Well, one of the things I noticed was like, I love to eat. I'm not even sure why I'm telling this story, but a queso, like I can just eat bowls of queso. I love it. But man, I learned as I started doing it, that is a huge trigger. If I eat queso, I am out for the night, okay? And so that's a trigger for me, man. And so when we're at the table, if I'm gonna have some, I know I'm going to pay later. And so I need to just slide that thing all the way down here to the kids on the end. I don't even be near it. We all have triggers like that in life with things that can be lead us down in more serious, you know, dark paths and things, whatever yours is. So you have to identify what those triggers are, and then you just stay away from them. It's kind of like the kid whose mom makes the plate of chocolate chip cookies and they're warm, and the little boy walks up, and mom says, we're getting ready to have supper, you cannot eat a cookie. And he walks up, the cookie's right there, and he just walks up there, and he just goes just like this. She says, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just going to stand here. She says, you can't have a cookie. I know. And he just stands there and looks at the cookies. And then he puts his hand right here. She says, what are you doing? He said, I just want to be next to the cookies. You can't eat a cookie. You can't have the cookies. I know. I just want to hold my hand here. And then he picks one up. She said, you cannot have a cookie. What are you doing? I just want to hold it. Right? I mean, just years ago, I'm watching the news, and there was a particular surgeon general. I'm not going to mention names. They were talking about safe sex. Sex education. And this particular person, in a conversation dialogue about it, says, we need to start educating our children at a younger age about sex education and sex So when they get to be teenagers and they're in the back seat of the car, they know what to do to protect themselves and be safe. Okay? And I said, well, I got an idea. How about teaching them to stay out of the back seat? Right? Yes. Stay away from that, man. You know what it is for you. You know exactly what I'm talking about, some of you. We all know that it's that thing. And so don't even put yourself in that situation. Don't watch it. Don't listen to it. Don't read it. Get off the screen. That kind of thing. Otherwise, you're going to lose the battle, man. And then you use divine weapons to find victory over that stronghold. The practical side, I think, our part, if you will, is, you know, we got to make better choices about what we say no to. And that helps us in setting our mind on things above. I finished with Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. I wish I could preach more of this. I didn't even give you the whole message, and it frustrates me. But next week we'll come back and we'll talk more about this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, and I'll preach on this next week. Therefore, listen to this. This is a great verse. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, not seen with our eyes. Digital, social media, You say, to what we have heard, lest we drift from it. Setting our minds on the things above. Let's pray together. Will you stand with me as we pray together? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Grace Point Church. My prayer is that you take what's been shared today, God, and you will just press this into our hearts. That you will draw us to you, that we walk away from here, God, just with our hearts and affection greater for you. I pray for those who might be battling, Lord, that maybe they feel hopeless, maybe they're hurting, struggling. God, may you press into their hearts and minds. They set their minds on you, God, on grace, on peace, on healing, whatever they need in their heart, God, to have hope. We have that, and we're thankful, and we celebrate that. Thank you for your word, your direction that you give us. And so we're setting our minds and our affection now, Lord, on you as we sing and as we worship and as we praise. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.